guest today is Brian Soltis. Brian, how are you?
Doing very well, David. Thank you.
What do you do?
I am the technical evangelist at Kentico Software. It's a .NET-based CMS, and I basically just do a lot of proof of concepts and talk to a lot of people, so it's pretty cool.
Do you ever work with a thing called Azure?
A little bit. I've actually used Azure for so long. I've actually used it before it was released. I was part of the SQL Azure Buddy program. I remember using Azure websites before it was even released, and it was at a strange name, like Atlas or something. Hmm. And since then, it's definitely one of my passions. I love working with Azure, specifically more on the development side of things. I'm not much of a DevOps guy, but I've used so many aspects of, you know, cloud services and web apps and mobile services and everything else. It's always fascinating to me how much is available to you.
And every month something new comes out.
Every month, every day.
That team is just amazing.
I remember
you were telling about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was gonna say that it was funny when I was on part of the SQL Azure Buddy group. I remember talking to them. This is when they were developing a lot of SQL Azure back in the day, and they explained to me like the release cycle for SQL Server was like 18 months or something like that, and the release cycle for SQL Azure at the time was 90 days. I mean, and that's just amazing that they can produce that much so quickly. So
they have. It's actually kind of leaked into the rest of Microsoft. So yeah. Now the release cycle for other products that used to be 3 years is now every quarter.
Tough to stay in front of that, but it's exciting nonetheless.
Yeah. you were telling me about something called Azure Search.
Yeah.
And that sounded really interesting. I'm not very familiar with it. What is it?
That's amazing because I've used Azure like 6-7 years, and I remember it was about a year and a half ago, I was looking to do something new. I was like, I'm just going to see what's new in Azure, and I came across Azure Search, and I'm like, I'm not sure what this is. And so I started looking into it, and essentially it's cloud-hosted search. The idea is you upload all your data, and you define an index based off of that data, and you tell Azure Search how it is you're going to search against that data using that index. Hmm. So you upload your data, Azure Search, and then turns around, indexes it using the Lucene engine, and then you tell Azure Search how it is you're going to search against this index, like what fields are searchable, which ones are sortable, which ones are facetable, all different kinds of stuff.
What does that mean, facetable?
Facetable means if you have a search, and maybe like a good example is like maybe a clothing site or like maybe a shoe site, you might have different facets of only this particular, you know, search by brand, search by size, search by type. Okay. You can facet the information based off each one of those.
So size is not relevant to every
right. I mean, you can filter. It's basically for filtering the searching that you look for, so you can refine the information you're trying to get.
But if you're selling tickets, for example, date is important and location is important.
Exactly.
If you're selling dresses, that's totally irrelevant.
Exactly.
The size and color are.
And that's a big thing about Azure Search is it's completely configurable in that aspect, meaning you decide how you want to search the data. And what's really cool is you can take the same data and you can make multiple indexes against it. Hmm. So one index might, you know, let's go back to like the clothing thing. One of your indexes may be to search, you know, by brands and because that's how the information is going to be relevant to the person trying to find it. But another index may be by, like, the color or something like that. And you can choose which index you want to call against. And the same data can be indexed in different ways so that, therefore, you return information in different ways and you use the index and the search capabilities inside of it in different ways. And what's really amazing is, you know, I found all this and I started looking into it, and I realized it had been released a year before then. Mm. And I had never heard of it. And I've since talked about it many times, and I've done a lot of user groups and different conferences around the world. Farthest I've gone is Sydney, Australia. I did their Azure user group, and I talked about Azure Search there. And it's
my
really
brother
cool.
lives in Sydney, Australia.
Really? Yeah. Maybe he was at the user group. I don't know.
I doubt it.
but it's really interesting because it's very powerful, and it's something a lot of people haven't really looked into yet. But it's very cool, and the different things that you can do with it are amazing, and it's. You know, search is one of those things, and this is how I kind of start all the talks I give. It's like, you know, it can be so complex, and it's different for everybody in every industry. You know, how you search clothing is completely different than how you search books or something like that.
Right.
And how people expect the information is different. How they're going to use the search results is very different. And so it's very complex on how to define and develop a logical and effective search solution. And Azure Search gives you a lot of this stuff because you can offload all this custom functionality onto Azure Search. And you can do really complex things like starts with search, or if it has words that are like it, synonyms. You can define synonyms for information.
Oh, okay.
So in the Azure Search demo that I have, I actually have a bunch of Simpsons quotes because I figured out Simpsons are universally liked by everybody around the world. So I have all these Simpsons quotes, and I have some examples of like how to do a synonym. So if you put in Let's say you put in, you know, Hank Azaria. It actually, I have the synonyms for all the characters Hank Azaria does. So you actually get back all the quotes that Hank Azaria does using the synonyms. You can do custom functions so that, like, show me things only within a 20-mile radius of this location that I give you, as long as the data itself has the radius, or has the location of that, the geolocation. Then the search automatically does the radius search for you and gives you back the words. It's very powerful, and it can do some really cool stuff.
What about different like tenses of verbs or plural and singular, that sort of thing?
So they have all these different things, different kinds of analyzers. So it's all – you kind of build everything up yourself.
So I would have to enter that information.
Well, most likely you would. So it all starts with defining the search. So basically you have a collection of data. So let's say like blog article or something. You're going to have like an author. You're going to have a date. You're going to have a title and a description and maybe some images. I don't know. You can push that data up in Azure Search, and then you create an index based off of the data. But, you know, the article ID is probably not relevant to you. Hmm. So that's not searchable. So when you search against it, you don't say don't search against the article ID. You probably know the author, maybe, because they're all the same author, but it's the title or the description. So you say, when I do a search, look inside of these fields and only return me results where you find inside of there. So that's the first part, is when you do a search, is defining that structure out and how you're going to interact with these fields that you're going to return. But even that is, it's like you can say, okay, look inside of the description, but the default analyzer is just going to look for how many times that particular phrase occurs inside of there. Mm-hmm. But they have other analyzers and custom analyzers so that you can define, look inside of the description field, but don't just look for the word. Look for things that are similar to the word or different tenses or words that start with that or end with that.
How about common misspellings of words?
Yep, there's built-in analyzers do common misspellings, you know, all those kinds of things, you know, like sounds like. You know, similar things like that. And so it's very customizable in that capacity because you can do so much with it.
Now you said that you upload your data to the search engine. Does that mean that if I have, let's say, an e-commerce site, that I'm now going to have two copies of my data, one upload to the search engine and one the catalog that they're...
So if you are...
I need to keep in sync?
If you are... It all really depends on where your data is. Okay. If you are using, you know, some other hosting for your data, like whether that's on-premise or another cloud solution or something, then you have to push that data. Azure Search can only look at data inside of Azure. So you have to push the data into Azure Search. That's what you have to do. Okay. And so often I tell people that, you know, if you're going to do that, if you're going to have that scenario, that's totally fine, but you're going to have some mechanism to keep your data updated. Then you have the API, and there is an Azure Search SDK, so you can hit the API direct, the REST API directly, or you can. It does have an SDK, so I tend to use the SDK because that way I'm not dealing with it at REST
you
API.
Hitting it directly means using REST?
Yeah, just making some REST API call directly against it.
Okay, and then the API is just a wrapper.
The wrapper is for the REST, The SDK is just a wrapper for the REST API.
Okay.
So you would have to set up some schedule to push your updated data once a day, once a month, whatever you know makes sense to you. If your site is hosted in Azure, Azure Search can see it. So in that case, you don't have to push your data up to it. You can set up an interval that Azure Search will just go update its own indexes on a scheduled time. Every 5 minutes, I think, is the earliest you can do.
Well, that sounds really appealing.
So if your data is already in Azure, whether that's in an Azure database, or if it's in an Azure VM, or if it's in like DocumentDB, or I think it even can hit Azure Tables now. And so if that's the case, it will automatically keep the index up to date at whatever interval you tell it to, and you don't have to do anything. Wow. So that's obviously the least, you know, amount of development that someone has to do. But what's really cool...
And the smallest latency as well.
Exactly. Now, one of the coolest parts about Azure Search, though, is the ability to... It can index blobs inside of Azure Storage. Hmm. So it supports... I'm not sure all the file extensions, but like Word files, PDF files, nice. Excel files, XML files, you can put all those in Azure Storage, set up an indexer that will watch that specific storage account, and as you put things up in there, it will automatically index them so you can search and it will find it inside of the document. So if you had a bunch of PDFs or something like that or Word documents and you wanted to have a search for inside of those documents, you can just set up an Azure Search index to hit it, call the API, and now you're looking directly in those documents to return only the ones that have the matching features. But those indexes are just like the regular indexes, and they're completely customizable, and you can choose custom functions and all the other kind of stuff I mentioned. So it's pretty powerful. It's really cool. It's one of the things people like the most when I've presented at it.
How do people pay for this? Is it by the amount of data index? Is it by the hour? Or what's the cost model?
So in the last time I checked, the pricing model for Azure Search, they have a free plan, which is the one I tend to use in more of my demos. The free plan gives you, I think, 3 indexes and up to 10,000 documents. So every record inside of your Azure Search is a document, and you get that. And I don't think it has like an SLA in front of it. It's the free plan. But it's really priced on – it really based on how many indexes are you going to have – and how many, how much data are you actually going to index? And then there's different tiers. There's like the S1, I believe it is, or the basic, I believe, is like 50 indexes. And then the next one's like 200 indexes. And then there's huge ones that can handle lots of stuff. But really, if someone was looking into it, I wouldn't think of Azure Search as a one-off just for a particular project. I mean, if you could get away with a free plan, that would be awesome. But I think if you're looking for an enterprise project, you would need to think of Azure Search as your new search solution across your company.
Sure.
Because that's where you're going to get the benefit and the value of paying as much as, you know, for the 50 index plan or something like that. I mean, it's a lot of money. You're not going to pay hundreds of dollars a month just for search for one application.
Right.
But if you can have all your applications use that search, now you're saving all these development costs because everything's offloaded in Azure. So
How do we get started with this? Is this just another menu option in the Azure portal?
Click the little plus sign and drop it down, and I believe it's under the data tab. I'm not exactly sure, but if you just type in search, you'll see it's actually called Azure Search Service.
Okay.
And you stand that up, and then you can just start going from there. You define your indexes, and you can define different things, your data sources and stuff like that. And what's really cool about it is you hook up your Azure Search to a storage account. And if you want to, you can click a link inside the portal underneath the search service to start collecting analytics. Mm. And now you start getting search analytics on your data.
What does that look like?
So actually, Microsoft released a free Power BI pack that is a bunch of reports that show you these are the terms that are searched for the most.
These are the
top search terms where you return no results. Mm. And so with this kind of stuff, you can realize, this is how people are using this.
Mm.
And now a good example I have.
And your index is based on that.
Exactly. And a good thing I found is like a good example is if you look at that report and you see, okay, everybody's coming to the site and they're searching for this and they're not getting any results.
Right.
That's a bad experience.
Right.
So now you know I need to have some data that gets returned because everyone's searching for this. And you also can see the latency, how many APIs are being called, and so you can tell when your search is actually getting hit, and so you know when you might need to scale up or scale down because it's scalable just like everything else in Azure. So those Power BI reports are very powerful, but it's all based off of some very small analytics files that Azure Search will store in your storage account.
Right.
You can drill down into them. They're not very exciting. It's a bunch of XML and JSON and stuff. But the Power BI reports are already set up to interpret those and display it in a nice graphical way, and it's really powerful.
Let's say somebody wants to get started in this. Where do they go to learn more about it?
I tell you, I would go to the Azure portal, and you'll find Azure Search inside of there. But also, if you just type in what is Azure Search, Microsoft has a really good area of their, I don't know if it's on the MSDN side or just the regular main website, but it's a nice primer to just, this is Azure Search. There also is Liam Cavanaugh is the program manager for Azure Search, and he publishes a lot of blogs about it. And so he has a blog. If you just search for Liam Cavanaugh, you'll find his blog, and you'll find a lot of information. He kind of tells you about new and evolving features and, because they're always working on the API. And they'll add in some preview features inside of there, and then when they get them working well, then they become general availability and they get made part of the SDK. So I think between those three, that's what I would do. I mean, I think your first idea is you need to know what is Azure Search. Like, you need to just educate yourself on it so that you understand what it is and what you might do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then in that same area, under the Azure area, the Microsoft.com, I believe, is the URL, you'll find a section just on Azure Search, and you'll find getting started, how you can actually work with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Liam's blogs, I've written a number of blogs on my own website.
Blog?
So all of my blogs are hosted on devnet.kentico.com.
Okay.
And most of them are specific to the company I work for, Kentico, but I do integrate in with several other components, and I like to blog about those. And so I walk you through a process of using Kentico and Azure Search and where I'm creating these indexes and how I'm defining it using the API and using the SDK and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think between all those, there's a lot of information for you to find about it. And I think it's a really good area that a lot of people aren't really familiar with, but I think it could benefit a lot of applications.
Hmm. You're also speaking about it, right?
I am.
Where are you going next?
I'm hoping to hopefully go to Columbus, maybe in that area, Columbus, Ohio, up in to talk to the Azure group there or the .NET user group. And
that's a good group.
Yep, I've recently spoken to Little Rock, Arkansas. I think in last November.
Never been there.
Yeah, that was my first time. But Little Rock Tech Fest was actually a big event. I spoke on Azure Search there, so I tried to talk on as much as I can. And it's kind of funny. I kind of give the same talk, and I just keep updating it because they keep adding new features to Azure Search. But I find more and more that developers just haven't been aware of it. So it's I really like talking
so
about something
new. So we
need
to do a better job of getting the word out.
Hey,
hopefully this is a start.
That's right.
But you guys, if you're listening on the product team. let's evangelize this. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate it. I love technology, not as much as my friends you see, but I still love technology.